This podcast was brought to you by Pastor Brian Calstrip and Fellowship Church. For more information, visit thefellowship.church.
You guys ready for today?
Yeah.
I got this half, they're ready. This half, you were so slow to the punch. You guys ready for this?
Yeah.
Feel like a rap song. I'm starting a rap song or something. Now, listen, I know some of you guys, I actually had somebody voice it to me actually before I walked up here. They're like, boy, you got a lot of points this morning. I was like, relax, I'll get you out of here on time. Just take a big deep breath. So, you know, you might be looking at it like, that is a lot of points, Brian. It's okay. You need a lot of points. Huh? All right. Well, today we're going to be starting a new series, and I don't know what's going on with my microphone, but that's okay. How many of you guys, today we're going to be talking about overcoming roadblocks. I was praying this week just about what it is that the Lord wanted us to talk about, and roadblocks is what came up to me. I was like, well, man, we got to find a better, more positive thing to say than roadblocks. We don't want the series to be entitled such a negative. I said something to Pastor Mike. I said, well, let's just call it overcoming roadblocks. How many of you guys like roadblocks? No one in here likes a roadblock. I mean, years ago, we had a motorcycle, and me and some friends, we would go riding, and one time we ended up on the road that takes you to Walnut, and I don't know how we missed the sign that said this road is closed, but we drove, 9 miles in the wrong direction, and we get to this big barricade that says road closed. You know, I'm thinking to myself, I'm not turning around. I'm not going to turn around and go back. I mean, we were trying to go a certain way, and I looked at him, and he looked at me, and I was like, we looked down over the side of the bridge embankment, and we're like, yeah, there's a tube down there. We'll drive that way. And so, man, we threw the girls off the bike. We didn't want to take them down through there like that. That would have been really interesting. Actually, it would have been a really good story. I should have kept Rachel on the back of the bike. But I said, you might want to stay here. I'm not real sure how this is going to turn out, And so we drove down through there and got around to the other side and kept on going. They had to walk down through the mud in their flip-flops, but that's beside the point. But roadblocks, we travel these long roads, and sometimes we get to these roadblocks, and it's just a hassle, isn't it? We got one on 92 right now. It's just a hassle. They're working on it. It's like you got to stop, and your normal speed, it's kind of a hassle, right? But there's a reason for it. The bridge is out, and so it does keep you safe, but it is kind of a nuisance, and you sometimes feel like it's a time waster, and keeps you from going to your destination. But when it comes to the roadblocks in life, no one likes a roadblock. No one does. It's kind of a holdup. It's kind of a hang up. It's an obstacle. It's a challenge. But the good thing about it is that his word's really, really clear. He helps us to navigate, recognize, helps us to see what it is that we can do to navigate those roadblocks and those obstacles in life. You guys remember in John 10:10, 10:10 is the verse I'm going to, but in the first part of that chapter, John is talking about the sheep and the shepherd and the pasture. Sometimes when I think about this verse of scripture in chapter 10, I think about Psalms 23, like just a really nice, luscious, pasture on a side hill with some trees and just, a nice, you guys with me, just a nice flowing creek into a nice big pond that you could put a wave runner in and ski on if you wanted to, But if you're a sheep, it's just a really nice place that you could just, take your pick. You got plenty of food. You got protection. It's surrounded by, a stone fence and nobody's getting in there. And then you got the shepherd and, he's blocking the gate and he's going to keep you safe. That's what I think of. And that's really what John is talking about here, is that Jesus is our shepherd. Did you know that? I was reading, and some of these shepherds back in the day, in ancient days, they would actually sleep in the gate. That'd be kind of rough on your neck, and you wake up in the next morning, But look what it says here in John 10:9. It says, yes, I am the gate, this is Jesus speaking. Those who come in through me will be saved, and they will come in and they will go out freely. Come in and go out. Isn't that good to know that our Heavenly Father, He has given us free will and choice, that there is free will in our lives as sheep to come and to go. We can come to those places of pasture, those places of protection, come and go, and we'll find good pasture. But look at this, verse 10. The thief's purpose is to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And you guys all know that. But what did he say? My purpose is to give them what? A rich and a satisfying life. Did you know that? Jesus' purpose in coming was to give you a rich and a satisfying life. And we have to understand that satisfying life, it's eternal. Like, that's for eternity. You know, it speaks to our life that we know heaven is our home, but it's not just out there someday. No, it begins when we accept him and we begin to follow him. His blessing, his protection, his provision becomes a part of our lives. And so, you know, but we have to understand, I think that much of the verse talks about this shepherd and sheep and these pastures, but this one thing where the enemy, it highlights that, and it points it out that, listen, you know, the thief, he's coming to steal it. He's coming to try to kill it. He's trying to block it. He's trying to keep it from you. He's trying to block you from living in that place. And so we see this picture. And so today I want to look at some things that can be roadblocks in our lives. You know, remember that Jesus came to give us this rich and this satisfying life, but he wants us to enjoy it. He's not the one that's keeping you from it. He wants you to enjoy this rich and satisfying life. The enemy is the one that doesn't want you to enjoy it. He does not want you to have a rich and a satisfying life. But you know, I think, you know, sometimes we blame the enemy for why it is that we don't have that rich and that satisfying life. I mean, come on, let's just be honest. There are times where we make dumb decisions, right? How many of you guys have ever seen he likens us unto sheep? How many of you guys have ever seen some of those videos? They're like a short video where the guy gets the sheep out of the deep trench and the sheep goes out like this and then jumps right back into the trench. You guys ever seen those? Well, they're kind of funny. And I think that's kind of like us sometimes, that it's like, you know, the enemy does not want us to have a rich and satisfying life, but at the end of the day, there are times where we make stupid decisions, stupid choices, and we don't follow the things that he has laid out for our lives. And so, you know, I believe that God wants a rich and a satisfying life for you. And my prayer is that as we look at this, you'll discover and grow as we look at ways that he has given to us to overcome roadblocks. And so the first thing that I think is kind of the big problem when it comes to these roadblocks is found in your notes, is the problem that we are misled. I don't know if we got that. Yeah, misled. You know, we're misled because look what it says here in James. And we're gonna look at James chapter 1, and we'll just take some points out of there. But James 1 says, "Dear brothers and sisters, when troubles, when obstacles, when roadblocks of any kind come your way," and if you slide down to verse 16, look what it says. It says, "Don't be misled." Now we're gonna look at the stuff that's in between there, but I thought it was interesting because James, who was the half-brother of Jesus, he's the one that wrote this, he lays all this stuff out. He starts the chapter by saying, listen, there's gonna be come times where there's troubles, there's obstacles, and there's roadblocks. It's just the way that life is. You're gonna, you know, come into a place where the bridge is out. We've got to do something different, you know? And so, but he says, don't be misled. Another version says, don't be deceived. The Message version, I like what this says. It says, don't get thrown off course. That's interesting. So, you know, however you process that in your mind, James is saying, listen, you got to be careful that you're not misled or be careful that you're not thrown off track. And so, you know, have you ever been misled? I think we all have, you know, when it comes to, you know, maybe somebody that was dishonest and didn't tell you everything and didn't, you know, kind of kept some of the truth behind, or maybe you came into a time of life where you just didn't understand everything and you committed to it, or maybe you overlooked something. How many of you guys have ever overlooked something? It's like, oh, okay, you know? And so James is saying, hey, listen, don't be misled. And don't be thrown off course. And so, you know, when it comes to troubles and obstacles and roadblocks, we must be careful not to be misled. We can be misled in our own ways, choosing to go off-road, you know, kind of like we did that day. And I think sometimes, I'm going to get you here. Because just like that day when we were, when the bridge, or the bridge was out and this roadblock, it's like, you know, I'm just like, I'm not turning around. I'm going down through here. And I think sometimes in our lives as believers, don't we do that? It's like when the road's blocked or we have an obstacle or there's a challenge in our lives and we're coming up against something it's like something rises up within us. It's, you know, it might be a little bit of pride and we just decide, that's it. I'm going off road. You know, we don't consider the Lord. We don't talk to the Lord. We just say, there's a path, and we head off down there, and it's this slippery slope, and at the bottom, it is full of mud, and we end up stuck. And so, we just have to, you know, when we come into these tough and challenging times, we have to look to the Lord, look to him for his guidance and his direction. Because, you know, James 1, you know, he's given us some principles to navigate these roadblocks. And so I just want to pick a few. There's not a lot here. And I mean, there could have been more. I was telling this individual that was heckling me before service that he said I had a lot of points. I'm like, listen, I had 10 points before I got here, and I narrowed it down to 5 because I knew you'd be complaining. Number one, James 1:2, okay? This is James. James says, dear brothers and sisters, when troubles of any kind come your way, what does he say? What, James? Consider it an opportunity for joy. What? Amen. Yeah, we got one saying amen. Troubles, obstacles, roadblocks, they will come. So James said, listen, man, they are coming. It's not a matter of if, it's when they come. And when they come, how you think and how you feel about the situation determines how that will play out. So number one, the number one roadblock in your notes is this: attitude. Oh yeah, that one hit me hard. So hard when I was getting ready for this. I'm like, I mean, we were in town this weekend and with some friends, and we were in downtown Omaha, and you know, all these pedestrians, they think they own the road. And I'm thinking, man, we're in a 7,000 pound vehicle. You know, and this one, it literally says, do not walk. We had the right of way. It had a sign like this that said, do not walk. And this guy comes walking out, and he gives the driver, I wasn't driving, I told the driver, I said, you need to hit him. We got the right of way. Just bump him, you know. You guys are laughing. You guys have the same attitude as me, okay? It's a terrible attitude. There's no love in it whatsoever. An attitude is what? It is a settled way of thinking. A settled way of thinking or feeling. Now listen, I'm just gonna be real upfront with you on this number one. This number one, I'm still working on this number one, okay? This roadblock of attitude, it will be a roadblock in your life. If you don't fix your attitude, if you don't have a good attitude, if you don't have a positive attitude and you choose to, you know, hit the pedestrian and do things like that through life, it's gonna create some challenges for you. But the attitude is a settled way of thinking or feeling about something. Winston Churchill said that attitude is a little thing that makes a big difference. It's a little thing that makes a big difference. And, you know, when I think about this roadblock of attitude, I think about the children of Israel right before they're getting ready to go into the promised land. You guys remember that in Numbers 13? You know, that the Lord had led them to this place and they're getting ready to go into the promised land. What does Moses do? He says, hey, you know, 10 spies, you know, he sends them in there and they're in there for 40 days, checking it out, looking around, and then they come back. And what do? They got a terrible report. I mean, just terrible. It's so bad that it strikes fear in the hearts of everybody that is listening. They're like, yeah, it's everything that the Lord said it was going to be. It's got everything. I mean, big screen TVs, hot tubs, RVs, pools, parks, everything. I mean, that's got it all. Everything that the Lord said, it's there. But man, there's problems, there's barricades, there's roadblocks, there's big people, there's fortified cities, and that's what happened. It melted these people's hearts, man. They started looking at the roadblock, and they started looking at that problem, and they got their eyes on the problem. But man, there was two guys. You guys remember them? Caleb and Joshua. What'd they do, man? They're like, no. It says that Caleb had a different spirit. One version of the Bible says that he had a different attitude. You know, here's the problem. I'm a math guy. And when you divide 10 into 12, that's 83%. And 2 into 12, right, is 17%. So unfortunately, 83%. I don't want to be in that 83%. I don't know about you. I do not want to be in the 83%. I want to be in the 17% that have a good attitude. Why? Because if you read that, the rest of that story, it was not good for the 83% of the spies that went in. They dropped dead. Because they had a bad, stinking attitude. And I mean to tell you, you know, if you guys just sit around and ponder Joshua and Caleb, you know, I was kind of thinking about them just a little bit more broad than what it is that we're talking about here this morning. But I mean to tell you, that was a great opportunity to have a bad attitude, you know? Like just throat punch the other dude next to you, you know? Like, what are you saying? I mean, they really had to check their attitude, you know, when they came back and like, what are you saying? We talked about this on our way up the hill. Don't be talking negative, man. I want to go into the promised land. You said you weren't going to say that. And they had a bad attitude. And I mean, think about it. I mean, for 40 some odd years, they still had to, Joshua and Caleb, you know, God promised them, yeah, you're going into the promised land. I wonder if sometime in that 40 years that they didn't have another opportunity. Oh, that's it, I'm going to kill you. You know, just a real, oh man, this is the reason we're walking around out here for 40 years. We could have been there a whole lot longer, a lot shorter if you would have had a better attitude. But it's you know what I mean? Like, we got it's a challenge when it comes to our attitude. And unfortunately, it's a roadblock that we got to overcome. We have to just decide, I'm going to have a good attitude. And are we going to get it right every time? No. But if we want to move past, if we want to move through, if we want to overcome that roadblock that's in our lives, it's going to take us winning with our attitude.
That's right.
It just is, you know, and we've all been there before where it's like round and round we go and where we stop, nobody knows. You know, it's a test, right? We're going to come 360. We're going to come full circle and the test is going to be there again in our lives. And the question is are we going to pass the test? Are we going to pass the attitude test? You know, so this weekend when we get done, I'm going to drive back down into downtown Omaha. I'm going to look for a pedestrian and I am going to pass the test of attitude. So here's what we got to do. We have to look at it this way. When we're in this roadblock of attitude, we have to say in your notes there, this is an opportunity to choose joy. Now, I put joy in there, but maybe it's just optimism, or maybe it's just, you know, a different attitude, just like Caleb had, that it's like, you know what? I'm just going to choose something different. I'm going to choose a different attitude. I'm going to choose to believe God. I'm going to choose to walk in faith. I'm going to choose to not walk by my feelings. It's just a choice. We just have to see it as an opportunity. That it's like, you know what? James said that there's going to be problems. There's going to be challenges. There's going to be obstacles that come to all of us. But it's just like in that moment, when it comes, what's my choice going to be? And it's split second. We either pass or we fail. Right? And if we fail, man, we're coming back around. I'm going to get it the next time. I'm going to choose joy because joy is gladness. It's the source of joy. It's a calm delight. When the obstacle, the challenge, the roadblock comes, we see it as an opportunity. This is an opportunity. Now I know. When tough things come, we don't look at it that way. It's like, oh man, sometimes what's wrong? You know, I just dealt with this last week or whatever. But it is an opportunity. It is an opportunity. We have to see it that it is an opportunity. Romans 5:3 says this, not only that, but we also rejoice in our suffering. So not only is it an opportunity, but Paul said, hey man, you need to rejoice. when you have obstacles and roadblocks in your life, because we know that the suffering produces perseverance. So when these things come to us, it's like, man, this is an opportunity to get better. This is an opportunity to persevere. This is an opportunity to develop myself as a believer and to persevere, because I know that it produces. James said in 1:12, blessed is the man. So if we look at it as an opportunity, if we rejoice in that time, he says here in verse 12 that we're blessed. We're blessed when we persevere. You know, we're blessed when we pass the test, because when he has stood the test of time, he'll receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him. And so, you know, when I think about Joshua and Caleb, I think to those guys, man, they passed the test. They passed the test over and over and over and over again. You know, and so, you know, we just have to consider those guys. Say, man, I want to be like that. That even though people that are around me may not be passing the test, they might be coming up against roadblocks and obstacles and challenges, I'm going to choose to do something different. I'm going to have a different attitude. I'm going to see this as an opportunity. And so we have to be known for a spirit of faith and an attitude of believing God. And so will you be the one that is celebrated? Because that's the thing, you know, man, here we are all these years later talking about Caleb and how amazing Caleb was, and that we want to have the attitude and the spirit that Caleb had. Like decades from now, when you're gone from the earth, how will you be known? Will you be known as the person that, the part of the 83%, or will you be known as Caleb, the one that had a good attitude and a positive outlook and the one that believed God, that even when the people around them were acting like knotheads, he just pushed on. He came back with a good report. He trusted the Lord. He looked to the Lord. He followed the Lord. That's what I want to be known for. Amen? Okay, so number two thing here is found in James 1:3. Look at this. Now listen, we're talking about roadblocks. We're talking about things that can trip us up. The first one was your attitude, and I know you guys all really love that one. You're going to really like this one. James 1:3 says, "For you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow." So the question is, before we get real deep into that scripture, is what do you know? Well, I'll tell you what I know. I know that I was right this morning on the way to church when we were arguing. And we won't say who that was. I didn't say me. I'm saying you guys. I didn't ride with my wife. I'm right all the way. Now, never mind. I'm not going there. What do you know? What do you know? Well, I know a lot. I know a lot about this. I know a lot about this. I know a lot about that, right? Some think they know a lot. You know, we've been around those people. There are know-a-lots. We got other people that they do know a lot. Wow, I don't feel as smart as you. But listen, what is what you know based on? That's my point. What is what you know based on? Is it based on past experiences? Is it based on the degree that you obtained? Is it based on how you were raised? Was it based on the self-help book that you read last week? Is it based on what your mom and your dad taught you? What is what you know based on? Right? That's the challenge in this, because it's kind of like this mother and this daughter. They're getting ready to cook this ham, and maybe you guys have heard this story. They're cooking this ham, and the daughter's just looking at, watching the mom do all this stuff and put the spices and the marinade and all this stuff on this ham, and then she cuts the bottom of the ham off. She's like, what did you cut that bottom of the ham off for? That's gonna make it dry out. And so they called grandma, and grandma said, well, that's just what great grandma said. And so they called great grandma at the assisted living place, and great grandma said, well, yeah, you do all the marinade stuff, but I cut the ham off because the pan wasn't big enough. So how much of what you are doing in life is based on what you learned from a previous generation, or what you accepted from your grandmother or your great grandmother or your mom or your dad? How much of what it is, well, that's just the way they did it. That's just the way that the dad prayed, or that's the way mom prayed, or that's, she got up in the morning and did her devotion, you know, or that's just what they believed. That can be dangerous. It can be dangerous. And And so, you know, we have to, what we know and what we sometimes base our life on, the ways that we think or the ways that we believe, where did they come from? And is it correct? Is it based upon the Word of God? Now, if it lines up with the Word of God, then you're safe. But a lot of people, it's like they don't ever go back to where it's found in the Word of God and say, yep, there it is. I accept it as truth. I'm going to live this out. I'm going to walk this out. I'm going to obey this. You know, well, mom and dad said that we could believe God for healing and we'll pray this way and it'll be done. Well, where's the scripture and the verse for it that backs it? Because that's what you need. That's where the life is. The life is not in the what it is that your parents taught you that. No, you know, thank God that they taught you that, but you have to go and you have to sow the incorruptible seed of His word into your life so that when that obstacle and that challenge and that roadblock comes to your life, it's not based upon what somebody else knows. It's based upon what the Word of God says. And so I challenge you in that, because number two is this roadblock of reasoning. It's the roadblock of reasoning. And to reason means to think, to understand, or to form a judgment by process of logic. Now, reasoning, we say things like, that's the way it's always been done. That's just the way that I am. It's how it's always been. That'll never change. That's just how they are. What are all those things? Those are all formed judgments based upon reasoning, based upon what you see, based upon what you experience, based upon reason, right? The problem with that is that people's reasoning is a roadblock. Well, I don't need to tithe. Well, why not? Well, I just, you know, I just don't think that it's of any benefit. So we reason our way out of the blessing of God. That's what the children of God, you know, the spies that came back, they're reasoning the whole way back. God said, this is your land. I've promised it to you. It's all yours. Just go in. I'll be behind you. What'd they do? They reasoned. They went in there for 40 days. Yeah, everything's the way it is. And then they flipped over to reasoning and reasoned their way back to Moses and then gave Moses a report of their reason. Well, I reason that they're too big. I reason that those cities are fortified and we're small. We're like grasshoppers. They reason their way to that conclusion. And we can do the same thing. It can be a roadblock in your life if you are reasoning. You know, sometimes we come into circumstances and situations and it doesn't turn out the way that we think that it should. And we say things like, well, I must not have faith. And then sometimes we'll look at somebody else who believed God for the same thing and they received what it was that they were believing for. And what do we think? Well, their faith must be greater than my faith. We reason that way. And you know, and then we say things, well, like I must have done something wrong and God must be trying to teach me a lesson and God must be punishing me. That's reason. When you go to the Bible, these are not things that you're going to find. You got to go there and get rid of the reasoning. That's why he tells us to renew our mind. Because if we go down that road of reason, we are going to reason our way out of the pasture. We'll reason our way out of the blessing. Reason our way out of his promise in our life. And so we have to be very, very careful. Because one man said it this way, as long as the enemy can keep you in the arena of reason, he will beat you every single time. I'm going to say it one more time because it's so good. As long as the enemy, Satan, can keep you in the arena of reason, he will beat you every single time. Just going to let that sit in. It's good. It's true. It's a reality. Because his word is not based on reason. His word is based on faith. Our faith, the spirit of faith, just like Caleb had. And so his word will set you free from faulty reasoning. If in your life, if you're in a roadblock right now and it's based on not, you got a great attitude. Yeah, check mark. I made it past that one. But maybe you're sitting there and you reason and reason. You got all these reasons why it won't work and why it can't work and all of these different things. This one's for you. But guess what? His word will set you free from faulty reasoning. Reasoning is man's wisdom. And revelation is God's wisdom. And his word is not reasoning, and his word is the wisdom of God. You don't need reasoning, you need revelation. That's what you need. If you're struggling in life and you're at a roadblock and it seems like you're at the same roadblock, this same sign, it's got the same scratches, right? I mean, it's what you're continuing to look at. You just need to go to his word and say, you know, identify the faulty reasoning and just figure it out and say, well, this is what the word says. And it's going to be a challenge because that reasoning has set a root in your life and you're going to have to dig it out. You're going to have to dig with the word of God. Continue to wash with the word of God. Wash the way you think and wash the way that you reason because, and to say it does not line up with the word of God. I need a revelation. I mean to tell you, he'll use the wildest of scriptures to give you a revelation. I mean to tell you, it's just been phenomenal in my life. And I'm sure there's others that can attest to this. I mean, one time I'm reading along and the Holy Spirit, he used a woman to give me a revelation about something that was going on in my life. And it wasn't specific to what it was, you know, the circumstances surrounding it. And so I'm just telling you, man, if you'll go to him and you'll say, Lord, I got some faulty reasoning in my life. You'll be rolling along sometime reading some random story and the words will jump off the page at you. That is revelation. And that's what you need. Because man, when you get that, it turns the tide. It sets you free. You remember it. Like I can take you to places where the Lord spoke to me where I was sitting or where I was standing. And it just that's what we need. But as long as I approach life from the standpoint of reasoning and thinking and all of that, I'm going to lose. And you're going to lose. And we don't want to lose. And so, you know, Jesus asked, who do people say that I am? You guys remember that? Jesus asked, who do people say that I am? And he said, some said Elijah, some said Jeremiah, others say the prophet. And then he asked him this. He asked the disciples, who do you say that I am? You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And it says right here in Matthew 16:17, and Jesus answered him, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. That's what we need, folks. That's what you need. If you have a roadblock of reasoning in your life, you don't need something that man or flesh and blood has revealed to you. You need a revelation from heaven, and he'll give it to you. You just got to go to him, say, Lord, I need revelation. Because look at what it says here in Proverbs 3:5-6. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Don't depend on your own understanding. Don't depend on your own insight. Don't pretend or depend on your own reasoning. Seek his will in all you do, and he will show you the path. He'll show you the path. He'll reveal it to you. He will bring the revelation that you need concerning faulty reasoning. And so, you know, these 10 spies, they were leaning on their reasoning. They're too big. The walls are fortified. They're like grasshoppers. And they all died on the wrong side of the roadblock. I mean to tell you, what a bad day. It's like, you know, you come back and you reason and the Lord's like, thank God. I was telling the prayer team before this, Moses, man, what a man. I mean, Moses, man, he cried out to the Lord and prayed for these people. And God's like, nope, this is where they die. This is where they die. I don't want that for you. Not that you're going to die, but just that reasoning that man, you never move past that roadblock. You never do. You live your life stuck on one side of the roadblock. I'm here today to tell you, he will help you overcome it. You just got to press in, man. You just got to press in to him and he will do it. Now, I'm running out of time, so we got to move fast. We have to resist the temptation to lean on and rely on our own reasoning, and we do that by understanding that this is a chance to grow. The Message translation says, consider it a gift. Consider it a gift, friend, when a test or a challenge comes at you from all sides. You know that under pressure, your faith is forced out into the open and it shows its true colors. So don't try to get out of anything prematurely. Let it do its work. Have you ever thought about a challenge or an obstacle or roadblock as something that does a work in your life? Well, it does, if you let it. And if you don't try to get out of it, it's like, man, this is going to produce something in me. And so it's a challenge. We don't like pain. How many of you guys like pain? Couple of you. We don't like change. Some of you guys that don't, I know you don't like pain. Some of you don't like change. Actually, I know a lot of you in here don't like change. And we don't like to be challenged, do we? Yeah, you know, growing up and kids, my mom and dad, they challenged me all the time. He'd tell me to line up and get in line and do this and have a better attitude because I had an attitude problem. You get out of the house, it's like, no more challenge. Oh no, there's a challenge coming. It's just not from your parents. It's from the roadblock that you're sitting there at, and you're staring at it again for the 50th time because why? We don't like that challenge. It's kind of like in high school, we'd run these 400s. Oh my gosh. You know, and the coach would be like, you're gonna run it and you're gonna run it all the way through. And if you wuss out and you don't push through, and some of the guys did, right? Like them 83% of them spies that they give up at the 3,300 mark, and then they'd act like they were running and they weren't running. And we get to the finish line and the coach is like, well, you know, so-and-so and so-and-so, they sloughed off. So you're gonna run another one. You know, and then I was remembering this too. The throwers, those guys, they got out of it all. They're up there throwing stuff and they're not even a part of it, you know? That's beside the point. That's just, never mind. But James said, you're gonna be tested, you're gonna have pressure, you're gonna have challenge, you're gonna have roadblocks. It shows your faith and it produces something in you. It matures you and it develops you. The question is, will you allow it? Number three, roadblock is counsel. James 1:5 says that if you need wisdom, ask of your generous God and he will give it to you. He will not rebuke you for asking. And so what are you saying, Brian? Why is counsel a roadblock? Well, counsel is a roadblock when we go everywhere else looking for the counsel that we need. What did James say? He says, if you lack wisdom, go to your Heavenly Father because he will liberally give you that which you need. But that's not what we do sometimes. We go and talk to everybody else and get counsel from everybody else. Our friends, our coworkers, our mom, our dad. We do all of these things looking for counsel. And that's good. We should seek wisdom. But man, if that's all we're doing and we're never looking to him for the wisdom from heaven, we're in trouble. We got to look to him and look to him, because I can remember one time in my life where I had this very thing where it was a roadblock, a challenge, an obstacle. And I'm looking everywhere. I'm asking everybody. I'm asking dad. I'm asking, you know, people that I know, friends, and asking fellow pastors. And one morning I'm sitting doing my devotion in this scripture, Proverbs 17:24, the perceptive find wisdom in their own front yard and fools look for it everywhere but right here. Smack. It's the Holy Spirit just like, hello. You know, okay, you know, he loves us, he wants to help us, he wants us to help us with these overcoming these roadblocks. And some of those roadblocks that you face can only be overcome by the wisdom and by the counsel of God. Psalms 32:8 says, I will instruct you and I will teach you in the way that you should go. I will counsel you with my eye that's upon you. So he's looking, he's watching you. The question is are you going to him? Are you looking to him? And so we have to, when we're in this roadblock of counsel, we got to ask for wisdom. You know, ask and look to him. Ask and look to him. Ask and look at the wisdom he gave you. He gave you God's wisdom. It's right in your lap or it's on your device. It's just up to you to just get into the book of wisdom and let the book of wisdom get into you. 2 Timothy 3:16 says that all scripture is breathed out by God. It's profitable for teaching, reproof. We love this one. Correction. Yes, for the training in the righteousness that a man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. I like what it says in James 1:25 in the Message. But whoever catches a glimpse of the revealed counsel of God, the free life. That's what we need. In these moments when we got challenges and roadblocks and we want to get through and we want to overcome it, it's the counsel of God that we need. Fourth roadblock is the response. And you guys are going to love this one because some of you guys, I know you respond too quickly. James 1:19 says, to understand this, my dear brothers and sisters, you must all be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to get angry. Often when we face obstacles and challenges, we're quick to speak. We're quick to complain, quick to gripe, quick to look at what other people are doing and compare ourselves. But what does it say? We're quick to speak, we're slow to listen. Slow to listen and quick to get angry. Man, why are we doing this again? You know, we go down that road, but look what Proverbs 10:19 says. When the words are many, sin is unavoidable. But he who restrains his lips is wise. The spies should have restrained their lips. You know, when they came back, brother, where's that duct tape at? And Moses says, now what is the report? I got nothing to say. We'll let Joshua and Caleb speak. That's what should have happened, but they didn't. Look what Proverbs 29, I don't think any of these verses are in your slides or in your scripture there, so you just have to write them down. Proverbs 29:20 says, do you see a man who speaks in haste? There's more hope for a fool than him. Do you see a husband who speaks in haste? There's more hope for a fool than him. Do you see a wife who speaks in haste? There is more hope for a fool than her. Proverbs 17:27 says that a man of knowledge restrains his words, and a man of understanding maintains a calm spirit. Our response to a roadblock determines how and when we will move past it. How and when we will move past it. You know, when it comes to marriages, if you're coming up against the same roadblock again and again, why don't you just change the response? That's what we're talking about right now. We're talking about the roadblock of response. Just change the response. It's like, you know what? I've been responding the same way over and over and over again. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to try a different response and see how that plays out. And what we need to do in these times, and this is in your notes, listen and then speak. Listen and then speak. Proverbs 14:29 says, a patient man has great understanding, but a quick-tempered man promotes folly. You know, understanding comes when we listen. Understanding in any area of life comes when we listen to the word and we listen to what our spouse is saying or we listen to what someone is saying. It takes patience to listen. How many of you guys have patience? Yeah. Patience. We gotta have patience. Because when we're patient, we listen. When we listen, we understand. Listen and then speak. And then the last thing, the last roadblock, you're gonna love this one too. James 1:23. For if you listen to the word and don't obey it, it's like glancing at your face in a mirror. Number five roadblock is your action. What is it that you're doing? James 1:22 says in the Message version, don't fool yourself into thinking that you are listening when you are anything but letting the word of God go in one ear and out the other. I'm not kidding you. I heard my mom say that to me as I read that verse of scripture when I was a little guy. I think it went in at one ear and out the other. And James is saying the same thing. And the Message version wasn't even written when I was being raised. So whatever. Act on what you hear. Those who hear and don't act are like those who glance into a mirror, walk away. 2 minutes later, they have no idea who they are or what they even look like. I don't want to be that. Do you? Man, I want to do what it says. Matthew 7, you we've looked at that before. You know, the person that does the word of God is likened unto the man who builds his house on the rock. And the waves and the turbulent winds, you know, those winds that we had that were 50 miles an hour, you wondered if your roof was going to get blown off. Those things will come and they crash against your house. But guess what? You got this rested assurance, man. I'm a doer of the word. My life is founded on the rock. But man, if we're not doing it, if we're not acting on it, this roadblock of action and doing what it is that we said, Matthew 6 says, it's like we're building our house on sand. And so what do? We have to act on what we hear. The rain fell, the torrent raged, and wind blew against it, but it did not fall. Proverbs 10:25, when the wind passes, the wicked are no more, but the righteous are secure forever. Amen? Amen. Listen, God wants to help you to overcome.
That's right.
Roadblocks, hang-ups, hold-ups, things that are holding you back. You got to look to Him, though. You got to look to Him in this week and in these days ahead. It's going to take work. It's going to take challenge. It's going to take, you know, weeding it out, working on it each and every day. Figure out what that roadblock is in your life and find the scriptures that line up with it. And each and every day you're looking to them. And I say, Lord, help me with this. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we come before You today. I thank You, Father, for Your word. Your word's alive. It's powerful. It's active. It has all the ability that it needs. Yes, to help us to overcome these roadblocks in life. And so I just pray for everybody that's in here. I know, Father, that the Spirit of God has spoken to us about those things that are holding us up and hanging us up, Father. And I just thank You that You've given us a course. You've given us a path to overcome those things that are holding us back. And I thank You, Father, that in these days to come, You'll strengthen us. You'll encourage us. You'll help us. You'll reveal Your word to us in just amazing ways as we look to You. And we thank You, Father, for it. With every head bowed and every eye closed, we don't want to leave without giving You the opportunity to ask Jesus to be a part of your life. I know most of you guys, but if I don't know you and you've not accepted Him as your Lord and Savior, today is your day. Don't leave this place not knowing Him. And so if you're here today and you say, Brian, that's me, I've never accepted Him, just raise up your hand. Or maybe you're that person that you're just far from the Lord and you want to get back in right standing with Him, you can raise up your hand and we'll pray with you too. Is there anybody here this morning that would like to pray? Got one? Okay. Anybody else wants to join that one? One. Got one. Couple more. You can put them down. Great. Great, great, great. Yes, you can put that down. I'll tell you what, He wants you to overcome. Amen. So we've got five here today that we want to pray with. And so why don't we just all pray together with them? You just say it loud enough to hear yourself. We'll pray with them and rededicate. I think that's what they're doing, is recommitting their life to the Lord. You ready? Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your Son giving His life for me. And today, I accept Him as my Lord and my Savior. I confess my sin to You and I repent. Thank You for forgiving me and accepting me in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hey, listen, if you were one of those people and you need some, you know, some resources to read and to encourage you in your faith, we have a prayer team down here. They'll be down here when we dismiss. Just go on down. They have all the resources and they'll pray with you. They'll answer any questions that you have. Maybe you didn't respond and you wanted to. Just go down there. They're ready. They're ready to encourage you, love on you, pray with you. If there's anybody else in here and you got prayer requests, I encourage you to go down there too. Amen. Amen. Well, hey, it's going to be a good afternoon. We got the youth. They're over there working up a great meal. We're going to pray over that meal right now, right here. And then you guys can go over there and enjoy. I don't even know what we're eating. I'm sure it's going to be good. And you're going to save money. Save big money at the fundraiser. Not at Menards, at the fundraiser. listen, you guys are all going to go out to eat anyway. That's our logic is, you guys are all going to go out and you're going to spend a lot of money at the restaurant. Just go over there, fellowship with your brothers and sisters in Christ. What's that? Pulled pork? Yeah, pulled pork. You can't go wrong with that. It's always good. Always good. Amen. So let's pray over our meal and then we'll dismiss you. You guys are like, oh, pulled pork. Let's do it. Father, we come before you. We thank you for today. We thank you, Father, for your time. We pray over this food that we're about to partake of, Father. We thank you that you take all sickness from our midst. And I thank you, Father, that you're going to bless this meal and you're going to bless these students, Father God, that are getting ready to go to camp this summer. Yes, there's a great deposit that's going to be made into their lives, Father. They're the future. They're the future of the church. And Father God, we love them and we support them in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, hey, I'm glad you guys came today, and I trust that you were blessed. So you guys can stand up, greet those that are around you, and go enjoy some pulled pork, and we'll see you back here on Wednesday night at 7 p.m. You are dismissed.